pretty sure you just gave yourself the most epic introduction ever. I have nothing. I have nothing. Welcome, Georgia Brown. Amen. Such a joy to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. Whew. We really don't need another song or a sermon. All we need is His glory and His presence. When Pastor Ty asked me to join you in this way that is not within a melody, I was like, whew, this is quite exciting but kind of scary, amen. Do you know who my pastor is? Do you know who my pastor's wife is? Have you met my best friend? Yeah! Woohoo! Set me up for success, amen. Hallelujah. But as this week, as I was contemplating that and the enemy was trying to creep in, if I could get a little more monitors, that would be great. As the enemy was trying to keep in, I was walking my little dog, Jubilee, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, daughter, power and authority aren't bound by volume. So this morning, I come to you in the name of the Lord, but I also come to you as Georgia Brown. Almost Williams. Amen. 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 I got the new engraved Bible to prove it here. Hallelujah. Oh, so ladies, let me tell you a backstory of how this message was really like birthed on my heart. I love that Jesus never asked us to just pour out. He wants us to live in the overflow thereof. When He said, go unto all the nations, first they had to be filled with the Spirit. So they weren't just going out dry, okay? So when He says, go out, you're already filled. You're just going to live in the overflow. And so this was birthed in the overflow in that side room over there. My favorite service of the week, 210. Do you like that name? I named it, okay? 210. Had some pushback, but it makes sense. Tuesday at 10, amen? Hallelujah. And that's just a service for our staff. And I love what Pastor said. We don't have staff meetings. We have prayer meetings in the name of the Lord. And golly, I just love closing my eyes and just being with Him and the overflow just bubbling up of my personal time with Him. And it just springs forth. And it just happens to be within sight of a melody. Worship is not a song. Okay? It is your life. It is holiness. We are all called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes it just happens to be a melody. And so in this instance, I just had this woman on my heart. It's a story in the Bible, but it was also my story. Amen. And I believe it is yours too. And before you know it, I was singing from a sinner to a son, from dead to daughter. And then, golly, about 20 minutes up here on this altar, screaming living water, it just was bubbling forth like the deepest well that I have ever been to before in my life. And the Lord continued to speak to me on water. He's stirring the waters, like Pastor said, for His daughters. This is the year of baptisms, and the Lord was speaking to me in dreams on this, and we've been prophetically singing this in this house. And so as we go into our time today, ladies, if you're a note taker, which I hope you are, the title for our time together is The Well is Waiting. The Well is Waiting. If you have your Bibles also, which I hope you do, we are a Bible church. Please turn to John chapter 4. Now, I just want to put you on watch, ladies. This is my first King James Bible, okay? So, hallelujah. I'm not here to say I'm holier than thou. I'm just asking for a little grace as I try to pronounce these words. Amen. I'm trying to go under the teaching of my pastor. So, hallelujah, here we are. So let me give you a little context on John 4. It's sandwiched between, obviously, John 3 and John 5. Hallelujah. And in John 3, you see Nicodemus. And he was like an ancient equivalent to a politician, priest, and a professor all rolled into one. And by night, this man came to Jesus with some questions. Who has some questions for Jesus? Amen. Who holds all the answers? He does. So we can come to him and ask freely. Hallelujah. So during this private nighttime chat, Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order to see the kingdom of God, one must be born again. Now, as I'm reading through this, I hear a little sass in his tone. Maybe not, maybe I'm wrong. But as he asks to crawl back into his mother's womb, how can I be born again? That's a little sassy. Amen. I'm not here to sass Jesus. Amen. It's a serious question. He didn't know. And then Jesus says, how can I explain the things of heaven to you if you cannot understand the things of earth? Nicodemus was quite confused that this wasn't just a physical birth. It was a spiritual birth. We must be born again. We must be born again. Do you hear me? We must be born again. I can't assume that every single one of you in here is born again if we are in a garage that does not make us a car. I'm not going to call you a Big Mac if you're just inside a McDonald's, which you shouldn't be eating that anyways, but that's another story for another time. Hallelujah. And in John 5, on the other end of this story, we have an unnamed man at the pool of Bethesda, where it says that at a certain time, an angel would come down and stir the waters, and whoever was the first to get in would get healed. And for 38 years, this man waited. That is 456 months, 1,981 weeks, 13,870 days, 300,032, 880 hours. He had never been first to the healing waters. For he said when Jesus asked him that he had no one to get him in the waters. I'm also reminded of a story where they tore the roof open. I don't know about you, but we need some through-the-roof friends. We need some through-the-roof sisters. That when we ourselves can't get to the healer ourselves, that they would say, come with me, just like Amanda's story, as we would sing Yeshua over them. Hallelujah. And right there, on the Sabbath day in Jerusalem, a paralyzed man was made whole, taking up his mat and walking. And in between these two stories about men being born again, the waters being stirred, we meet a woman. Or should I say, a woman met a man. John 4, 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and parted again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Made and baptized. This stuck out to me. Not one, but both. You see here, there's a difference. Jesus was not only making disciples by teaching and inviting them to follow him, but he was also baptizing them as a public declaration of their commitment to him. The waters are stirred. What are you waiting for, ladies? The perfect day for the heavens to open? It is time. Today is your day. Have you done both? And as he left Judea and departed into Galilee, he needs to go through Samaria. Now, did he really? Did he really need to go through Samaria? Y'all, I've lived in Nashville, the Tennessee area, hallelujah, for 7 years. I still be needing to use a GPS to get where I'm going. Oh, Mount Juliet, I think I got it down. I've been living here about 6 months. I think I can get myself to Old Lebanon Dirt Road, amen. Did I even say that right? Old Lebanon Dirt Road. I know how to get here. The glory brings me here. Hallelujah. So let's look at a map, if y'all got that in the back for us here. just kind of how we're going to get on our journey here, we need to understand some context of the time, which if they don't have it, maybe I can be your map, okay? They work so hard in the back. I'm so thankful for them. Hallelujah! Look at there. Okay, so here we are. This is Jesus's travel, amen? So he was down here in Judea, and he needed to go up to Galilee, but the people of their time did not mix and mingle. They were definitely not friends to even say that. What's crazy is these people, to avoid the Samaritans, would go around into Perea here. How many of you take the long way around? You go to self-checkout because you don't want to talk to a person. You don't answer their call and you use the excuse that you're tired or busy or don't want to be on the phone with them for too long. You don't answer their text messages and just say, I'm a bad texter. But Jesus, before you know, he already goes. Before you're there, he is. He does not go around you. He comes straight to you. There was a need, and he met it, because that is who he is. It's not like they were going to go and camp out there. They were just passing through. Whew. He was on assignment, ladies. And his assignment is the one. Verse 5 says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, I say in my little accent, going to Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. I love studying the Bible and taking it slow when wondering what the words mean. Like even down to the definition of your own name. Do you even know what your name means? The word that is spoken over you the most. Georgia means farmer. Farmer, farmer, as you say my name. I'm just out here planting seeds for the king, amen? Hallelujah. And as we see this town called Sychar, this comes from the Hebrew verb, which means wage. It also means drunk. In this time, you know, money wasn't quite that prevalent or a luxury item, and so the workers would commonly be paid with food, drink, or protection. And in early cities, you know, this water was often not undrinkable, and so beer was the only beverage. So here's Jesus going through the town of drunk. Follow me here. In Genesis 33, if you go back to the Old Testament, Jacob is settling in the land of Canaan. Verse 19 of 33 says, and he bought a parcel of the field where he had spread his tent at the hand of his children. And for 100 pieces of money, he erected an altar there and called it El Elyohi Israel. You cross-reference this with chapter 35, verse 7 in Genesis, and it says, and he built there an altar and called that place El Bethelel, because God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Jacob's well was there. On the parcel of land where the altar was, so was the well. John 4 continues, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, the middle, the heat of the day. Probably hotter than this tent. Amen. Two things. Jesus was tired from his journey, but what did he do with his weariness? He sat on the altar. He sat on the well. Come to the altar. So many of us, when we say we're tired, we stay home and we don't go to church. And instead of coming to get a drink from him, we drink a Red Bull. And we don't ask him to be our sufficiency, for him to be our water. We go to counterfeit idols of this world, and they have to bow in the name of Jesus. And in the New Testament, God made flesh once again appeared as El Elohi Israel. God appeared in the very plot where Jacob erected the altar to Jacob's well. There, he met a woman. Verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. Jesus didn't say, would you please kindly give me a drink, ma'am? Could you? Could you let me borrow that bucket just for a minute, darling? No. He said, give me a drink. He was weary. He was tired as he sat. Verse 8 says, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. They were hungry, amen. Verse 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me of a drink when I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She's stating the obvious to him. Do you see the situation we're here? You and I are not alike. We should not even be talking. You, a man, talking to me, a woman, in the middle of day, alone, here at this well. Why are you even looking at me? Aren't you detest by me? She probably felt gross with his eyes even on her. She didn't know this, but he already knew where she had been, but she didn't know that. Do you know what I've been through? Do you know who I am? Do you know what they've said about me? But Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I love when Jesus doesn't answer the way we thought he would. She was kind of setting him up, as they did throughout the scriptures. But he came with a sword. And in the kindness of his love, Jesus just asked her for a physical drink when she could have asked him for a spiritual rebirth of living water. See, you have not because you ask not. Start asking God. Pray specific prayers and you will get specific answers. Here we see him just asking for a little physical drink when he could give her everything she's ever desired. Verse 11 says, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's like, how can I get this living water? It stayed with her. She's like, living water? How do I get that? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children of his cattle? She's like, do you remember this very land from in Genesis 33 that we just read about? Are you greater than him? He even gave us this water. We are so grateful. We have to come up here in the heat of the day so I don't be seen by nobody. But are you greater than him? There's no way. Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinks of this water, I'm sure he pointed, maybe looked down into the well with a smile on his face. Whoever drinks of this water, probably chuckled, they will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up with everlasting life. I want that water. Verse 15 said, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Once again, not answering her question in the way that she desired. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Did she say this with tears in her eyes? Did she look down at the ground, maybe for the first time vocalizing it out loud? Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Did her face turn red? Did she pace, her palms turn sweaty? Did she want to leave because he just confronted her reality that she verbalized out loud, making recognition that her current reality, stating to a Jewish man that this Samaritan woman had no covering in a society that already called her a half-breed and the lowest of low. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now, who you're with now, let me just say in the George Brown language, who you're with now ain't your man. You ain't in covenant. You're shacking up. You're living in sin. And you don't even feel bad about it. There's no conviction. There's no fire. You think since you've been married before, it's okay. But I serve a holy God. Woo! Don't get me fired up on that one. He read her mail, as he does each and every one of ours in this room. Do you have the fear of the Lord in that? There were five failed coverings. Were there five funerals? Were there five divorces? Was it a mixture of both? Was there abuse? Was there manipulation? Were there word curses spoken over her? He knew. Verse 19 said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. If I was Kiara, I'd be like, so I see that you're a prophet. I would make it a joke because I'm so nervous. I'd be like, oh, Jesus just called me out. I perceive you're a prophet. Good to know. This is true. Maybe he even said it in this voice. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem, in the place where men ought to worship. She's like, isn't this what we're supposed to do? Verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman. Like you said, I would not call my pastor woman, amen? Your mama, your grandmama, you better sit down, check yourself before you wreck yourself. But Jesus was addressing her saying, I see you, woman. I see you, woman. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Spirit and in truth. Was he just bubbling up with this saying, okay, woman, I'm going to tell you who I am. Because you need to know the time has come. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he will tell us all the things. She's like, okay. Calm down. When he comes, he'll tell me. Chill. And Jesus said unto her, he probably locked eyes with her with the fire in his eyes. A realization in her bones, the veil lifted of who was just speaking to her. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Hallelujah. For the first time in the New Testament, Jesus revealed himself as Messiah at the well, on the altar, in the heat of the day, in a town called Drunk, asking for a drink to a woman whose society deemed a half-breed that had five husbands and is currently with a man that is not number six. Yet he needed to go there for her. A revelation of who he is comes from the altar, where you find the wellsprings of life. Verse 27 says, and upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked to this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why are you talking to this girl? They were like, okay, we know. the rabbi that we're walking with. Let's just give him a minute. We'll just hold these foods. We'll hold our Kroger bags, and we'll just wait to tell him how much we saved with our coupons. Amen. But it was in that moment that verse 28 tells us something. The woman left her water pot, and she went her way into the city and said, who? To the men. Come, see a man which told me all the things I have ever done. Is this not the Christ? She gave them a command now. Come and see. And they went out unto the city, verse 30 says, and they came unto him. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. The saying of the woman. In the New King James, it says they believed because the word of the woman. It was the word of the woman that drew the town from drunk to sobering them with the living water. You see, ladies, the word of the woman has worth. The word of the woman Ruth was honorable. The word of the woman Esther risked her life to save her people. The word of the woman Mary said, in faith, do whatever my son says to do. The word of the woman Miriam brought liberation for the Israelites. The word of the woman Rahab was saved by faith in her actions. The word of the woman Hannah prayed and prayed for the promised child. The word of the woman Elizabeth carried and raised the one that prepared the way of the Messiah. The word of the woman Mary of Bethany said, I will pour out all my love on you. The word of the woman Mary Magdalene said, he isn't there, he's not inside. Oh! Oh! The word of the woman first revealed the living water. She ran back into town, and the word of the woman first revealed resurrecting life. You can't tell me that the word of the woman isn't important. But ladies, the word of the woman can only take you so far. The word of the woman might have brought you to this room. Your friend brought you and said, oh, it'll be fun. Apostle's gonna be here. Pastor Locke's gonna be here. Oh my gosh. Kiara, we love her. I'm her biggest fan, okay? But the word of the woman can only take you so far. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. They're like, please stay, tell us more. Do you ever have those conversations where you don't want them to end? Hours pass and it feels like 5 minutes. As you're caught up in the spirit, as they were with Jesus, they did not want it to end, so he tarried. Was he still tired? Yet he lingered. Why don't we? And there he abode. He stayed with them 2 more days. Ha! And many more believed because of his own word. They took a drink from the well, from the altar, their self. The word of the woman brought them there, but that's not what they left with. They left with him. And they said unto the woman, they saw her as he saw her. And they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him for ourselves. Ladies, this morning I'm asking you, have you heard him for yourself? I'm tired of hearing people say that he doesn't speak. I am so tired of hearing this. What is your prayer life like? Have you opened up his word? You can't expect us up here to feed you. I am fasting. I am praying. I am interceding for you. But this oil is mine. This oil is mine. And he wants to give you your own. For he's coming. He's coming. So you need to stop riding on the coattails of your apostle. of your pastor. It's time for you to get in the water. You're saying, oh, well, I'll just wait. It's the time's not yet. Well, he already said 2,000 years ago here that it had already come. Spirit and in truth. And like the woman, the town had an encounter. You see, what we experienced this morning was an encounter of the glory. And it didn't happen because of the song. It happened because of the altar and his presence and the purity in the house of the Lord. And so you see, ladies, in this life, we all have a bucket that we carry around in this body of ours, in this temple that you probably should be treating like a temple. Amen. And here comes this woman. She didn't go in the middle in the cool of the day as the other women did because she didn't want them to see her. She didn't want to be seen by them because they would probably murmur, I can't stand gossiping. That has to cease in the name of Jesus. That has to cease in the name of Jesus. You keep your prayers in your prayer closet, okay? It is not gossip hour when you get together with your friends, okay? We are called to edify the bride, to lift one another higher, and if we're not doing that, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Because my Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, not just good and bad, okay? So stop with the death. As we see with this woman, she already had enough of that. So here she comes. Oh, what do we have here? Husband number one. She's got water in her bucket. She's been through some things. It's sloshing around. And then, as she goes through this marriage and as she sees other marriages that are maybe healthier than hers or happier than hers, or she's posting reels that are cute on these vacations they're taking of why doesn't my life look like this? Comparison creeps in. And as she continues on her journey, here comes misplaced identity. Finding her worth in that first husband, finding that worth in her children, in the grandchildren, in her occupation, in what she does or what she wished she would do. And it goes in the bucket of regret, mistakes, woulda, coulda, shouldas. And before you know it, I don't know the story of husband one, but here's husband two. Maybe he will satisfy. It's getting heavier. He didn't satisfy. And now, I can't get out of bed. The spirit of heaviness has come upon me. It feels like an elephant's on my chest, and I don't know how it got here. Started back at one. What else is she going to pick up on her journey? Overcompensating. Well, maybe if I just put on a smile at church, buy a new outfit, they won't notice that I'm dying inside. Maybe that high-end brand that I can't even afford, I'll fit in. Maybe if my kids go to a certain school or I have a certain number on a social media platform, they'll see me, and they won't see the real me. Yet nothing can satisfy. She is still thirsty. So let's get married again. Maybe that'll do it. First two didn't, but this one seems promising. But not too long after that, he left. And here crept in the spirit of abandonment. I'm all alone. No one loves me. Do they see me? Do they know what I've been through? No one understands is the biggest lie I've ever heard. Yet, she believed it. She made it her misplaced identity. She carried it, and it got heavier. And within this, she hated herself, self-hatred. So she began to treat her body in ways that should never be treated. Pick your poison. Cutting, throwing up. She did it. I gotta pick up my bucket and continue on. Ooh, look. Another man's giving me attention. I mean, the past three times haven't worked, but I'm desperate. At this point, I don't even have a house. I have nowhere to live. If I stay in the streets, that's probably worse than this, so... Okay, I'll get married. For a fourth time. And she didn't have to go too far before there was a divorce. A crippling coming out of covenant with her, legalizing, showing her that she isn't worth it, worth the fight. This broke her. She thought, how is there any way to come back from this? And so she continued on scrolling on social media, and she saw that other people were on those vacations and that other people were now having more children, and she was so jealous of their story. Comparison had already been here, self-hatred, and now this jealousy is just raging. And it is so big, and it adds to this pot that she has to carry along with her in this journey. And before you know it, she doesn't want to live. Maybe it would be better if I wasn't here at all. They wouldn't notice. No, five of my husbands did. What's the point of the breath in my lungs? I've tried it all. I've tried it all, she said. And fear, a liar, was in there. Oh, here comes husband number five. Here comes all the word curses. Six, question mark? I'll just live with him. I'm too afraid to come into covenant, even though she already is in the spirit. I'm too afraid to take his name. I don't even know mine anymore. Is it the first husband, the second, third, fourth, fifth? What is my name? I'm just a half-breed. I'm just a woman. I'm just a Samaritan. So the spirit of death comes upon her as she doesn't want to live. Who knows the amount of abuse that she endured from her own self, from any of the women in the town, from any of the husbands. This is what she carried to Jesus. In the physical, the bucket was empty. In the spirit, it was already full. It was full of her whole life, every story, every scar, every situation, and she had to take the journey slow because the bucket was heavy. So it took her till the middle of the day to even get there. And when she came to the well, he asked her for a drink. Do you know what I've been through? Do you know what's in my bucket? You don't want this. I don't want it. She wouldn't even let him draw a drink from her own bucket. Jesus. But there, on the altar, at the well, there was a great exchange. There was a great exchange. For the first time, probably in her entire life, she found rest where he did. The well that never runs dry. And he said, I'll take your bucket. And I'll give you a new bucket. I'll give you a new name, and I'll give you living water. And you will go from dead to daughter in my name, because I am who I am. I am he. I am he. I am he, he said. But ladies, so many of you have taken Jesus. You added him to your bucket. So you're trying to run back to town and testify. Look what the Lord has. And you got a bucket of bondage. You can't testify in fullness in your bondage, sisters. You can't have mixture in your bucket. It will burst the wineskin. It will burst. So it's time to lay it down on the altar and not pick it up. Lay it down. When is enough going to be enough? How many deliverance services do you need to come to? How many times are you going to ask the pastor to pray for you? How many times are you going to ask us to sing the same song over and over, hoping for a breakthrough this time when I've sang it the same way the last 10 times? Hallelujah. You need an encounter. You're not willing to drop your bucket. Somewhere along the way, you found comfortability with it. You can't evict your friends. You can only command your enemy to leave you. And so that's what this woman did. She asked for some living water. How do I get it? And he confronted her sin. He confronted her life. And she was never the same. And to a woman, and the word of the woman brought a town of drunk sobriety with the living water. And the whole town will never be the same because of her testimony, because she left the bucket. Now, after this weekend, we will all go home. I'll stay right here in the glory, amen. But we'll go home to all the places that the Lord has called us. He has gathered us to scatter us. He says, go into all the nations. So as you go, the word of the testimony alongside, of course, the blood of the Lamb will go forth to defeat and overcome the enemy. You can change your family. You can turn your towns upside down. When you walk into a restaurant, there comes the kingdom. But I need you to leave your bucket. You know, I was about to pour all this water off here and it was gonna be really epic, but I'm gonna invite y'all to come to the well. Come to the well that never runs dry. Come, sit on the altar and have an encounter with the one true living God that says, I am he, and it is time to worship in spirit and in truth. It's time to lay down your bucket, lay down the bondage of the past, because he didn't care about all that. He just wanted to offer her something new, something living, something that would never run dry. So the Levites are gonna lead us. And I just pray that you would lay it all down. Drop your bucket And ladies, I pray that an empowerment of the Spirit would come upon you to run back into your town, going back to all the places that hurt you and all the people that cursed you, and to testify with no timidity, with no shame, with no comparison, in the name of Jesus. Because he sees you, woman. You are altogether lovely, daughter. You were his idea. So I just speak the love of the Father over his daughters. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for revealing yourself first to woman as you came and were the living water, and as you revealed yourself as a resurrecting life. That same power lives in with us. So God, I just bind and break every word curse that has been spoken over these beautiful women of God. All the torment, all the abuse, all the manipulation, everything in the unseen that you see. And God, as we pluck out those weeds, we plant flowers in this garden of their heart, of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of adoption would come upon them, that they would see themselves the way that you see them when they look in the mirror, that they would see that they have a calling and a purpose on their life that is for you and you alone. God, I pray for a spirit of boldness and courage for them to drop their bucket here at the altar, at the well that never runs dry, God. I thank you that you give us an opportunity to go to all of these worldly places and towns called drunk, to give them sobriety, Lord, with the living water. Sober us in your presence. May we be able to taste and see that you are good. May we say with confidence, come, come.